Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. 800-288-9227. Retired senior trooper Monty Dial with us. I don't know why I had problems there with your title. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
And we want to thank R.J. Taylor and Old Blue USA for making Ask the Law a part of this program for many, many years. And we want to remind you that the information is up to date. As of today, Monday, March 28th, can change without notice. The statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. 800-288-9227. The website is askthelaw.org. They have a big red button there that says email Ask the Law. So click on that big red button and submit your CMB questions anytime. They'd love to hear from you. And we would love to hear from you at 800-288-9227. That's our number, 800-288-9227. If you have a question about hours of service, a question about CSA, maybe there's something that happened recently and you're wondering if it's going to affect your CSA score, now's the time to get your questions in at 800-288-9227. All right. We've been talking about what's going on with the FMCSA, with hours of service, with CSA, and everything else. And we were talking just before the break about the FMCSA group meeting at the it's an advisory committee meeting at the Mid-America Trucking Show. We pointed out that there are two separate meetings here. The first is coming up Thursday in Louisville, Kentucky at the Galt House Hotel. It's going to be in the Willow Room of the Galt House Hotel from 8:30 to 4 p.m. And that's Thursday, March 31st. And the last hour will be reserved for public comment. Now, the public can also provide public comment during the April 1st meeting. That's Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Lobby B, Meeting Room C101. Lobby B, Meeting Room C101 at the Kentucky Exposition Center. And that's where Mid-America is being held. So if you've got some public comments there for them, make sure that you reserve those for those times, either Thursday afternoon during the last hour or anytime between 10 and 2 on site there at the Mid-America show. Should be an interesting Mid-America show this week, as we're looking forward to, I think, everything, all the buzz this week or this year will be around regulatory items. We have a lot on our plate. We have hours of service. We have CSA underway. We have EOBRs. We now have a talk of a new Mexican pilot program. There's all types of things coming at the industry, and I think we're going to see that right now. I think it is going to be a huge buzz on this regulation. You and I were talking off the air about how the recruitment pavilion is always huge at Mid-America. And in the past, when we were seeing turnover rates of 136-138%, then drivers were walking around and kind of had a different attitude about it, because you could play musical chairs back then very easily.
Yes.
If you weren't doing well for whatever reason, or didn't like a company for whatever reason, you could move on to another company, and it was just so much easier back then. Now, not only is it tougher based on the recession, but it's also tougher based on CSA. It looks like right about now, since the scores are now, this information is readily available on the individuals as the drivers themselves. That means the good drivers right now can start finding the companies that want those good drivers.
I had heard or had read some information about Mid-America this year, that a lot of the recruiters were going to have the capabilities of actually pulling the driver score up right there in the recruiting booth.
Yes, and there is a company that's actually doing that that now has this service available. I know you can do it through the government websites, but there is a company now that basically can show you scores, and I'm wondering how many of those the carriers are using, you know, these private services, or how many of them are just tapping into the database itself.
From what I understand, the one company does it through the actual motor carrier themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading, I think it was in the Trucker, and they have, there's a new company that actually has the program that they will sell to the motor carrier.
Right.
Where the motor carrier can actually do their own rather than going out and relying on a third party.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's probably going to be a system where the recruiters will actually be able to go in and look at the data.
And have that software, that program readily available.
And have that program readily available to where they can go in and driver John Doe goes in there and they say, okay, oh, John Doe, here's the here's all the information. And instantly have that information and can tell that driver, you might want to look someplace else or come on around here and let's have a seat and drink a cup of coffee.
It'll be interesting to watch it. 800-288-9227. Let's get you your calls. We know we have some questions coming in for Trooper Dial.
Let's go to Larry in Michigan. Larry, hi, you're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Hi, you're on with Trooper Dial.
How you doing? I had a problem. I was in Missouri a couple weeks ago. Blew a tire just not even a quarter mile from where I first saw the weigh station.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured that's going to be the safest place to pull it to get it fixed. I did. They did the inspection, rode up the tire, put me out of service for it. Now, will that affect my CSA even though I went in there voluntarily?
Yes, it will, because of the fact that a roadside inspection was completed.
Okay. So I'm basically out of luck on that one.
Okay. Explain to me why it's possible that he could get a that put on an inspection. What is it about that situation that would be noted here, Trooper Dial?
What Larry did was rather than pulling over at a safe location, he knew that the scales were open just ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
He decided to go ahead and pull into there. Well, when he pulls in with the flat tire, they decide they want to do a roadside inspection. They complete a roadside inspection, and in the course of their inspection, they find the flat tire. They noticed him coming in. That's a out-of-service running on a flat tire.
So basically, if you have the blown tire, you have to pull over right away. You don't go up to that. You don't travel between that point and whatever the next stop
correct.
Is.
Correct. Now, Here's the one.
Than the weigh station?
Sir?
The side of the road is considered safer than the weigh station for getting it changed? Or?
Well, here again, Larry, I can't make that determination for you.
Uh-huh.
I will tell you this. Running on a flat tire is not a violation. What they get you for is the fact that if you're loaded, the weight rating on the tire is going to exceed the weight that you're carrying. So in other words, as an example, the tire has a 5,000-pound rating. And if you have a flat tire, then instead of two tires carrying 5,000 pounds each, you've got one tire carrying 10,000 pounds. The tire's only rated for 5,000, and that is an out-of-service item.
Okay. All right.
So that's what they're going to do because I can remember because several years ago when they came out, I kept trying to look because at one time running on a flat tire, if you had a flat tire anywhere on the truck or the trailer, it was an automatic out-of-service. And I went back in there and I started looking, and I couldn't find it. Where is it? Well, they took it out. But here's what they did. Every tire has a rating. And if you are loaded, then if, you know, you've got on a dual, you've got two sets of tires that have a 5,000-pound rating, which means those two tires can carry 10,000 pounds.
Right.
You have a flat on one of them. Now then you've got one tire that's carrying 10,000 pounds of weight, and it's only rated for 5,000 pounds.
Right.
So they put you out because you've exceeded the rating weight on the tire.
And the tires, I believe, have a higher weight on the points as far as CSA is concerned, right?
Yes, because that is one of the items that the driver can detect that violation when they're doing their walk around.
Their pre-trip, yeah.
Right.
So, unfortunately, that's gonna show up.
I think the last time I looked, it carried 8 points.
That, I was thinking 8 points myself. I didn't want to say it, but I was thinking eight immediately hit. I guess advice to anybody in that situation is to pull off the road right away, immediately,
right,
and call for service, get that tire
correct.
Changed.
And like I say, try to find, if you can find an exit. If there's not one, try to pull as far off as you can. As soon as you realize what the situation is, go back and put your reflective triangles out.
That's right.
And get a hold of road service and have them come out and make the repair.
All right. Back with Ask the Law in just a moment. We'll talk more about CSA, hours of service, and your calls. If you want to get in, that opens a line for you at 800-288-9227. If you've got a regulatory question, something happened recently, like happened to Larry, and you're wondering if that's going to show up on CSA, hours of service, or anything else, 800-288-9227. Back in a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
Want to remind you, the information is up to date as of today, Monday, March 28, 2011. Can change without notice. Any comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Let's go to the phones at 800-288-9227.
Talk to Kevin in Laredo, Texas. Kevin, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on with Trooper Dial. Welcome. Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Got a question. I was in Chicago, and I was taking a right turn, and I had part of my trailer in that right lane. It was like a three-lane area, left turn lane, center lane, and a right turn lane. It was a tight area. Lady came up on my right as I was taking my turn, and she hit me. I received no ticket for this. But then upon further investigation, now here's the other kicker. Her father was also a Chicago cop. Is that going to go on my DAC, even though I received no ticket at the time of the accident?
Here again, Ken, I'm not exactly sure what all is reported to DAC. DAC is something that the motor carriers themselves submit the data to USIS or whoever the owner is right now.
Okay.
That has no input from FMCSA or law enforcement. Motor carriers are the only ones that provide the data that goes into that. Now, on the other hand, let me talk about the portion of it that I know. Do you know if a police accident report was generated?
Yes.
Right.
And every cop there said, this isn't your fault. She came up on your right side.
Okay.
Then, she shouldn't have been there, but then all of a sudden, like I said, I found out her father was a cop.
Okay. Now then,
then all of a sudden, I never received a ticket because every cop there said, this isn't your fault. You're not getting a ticket.
Okay. Next question. Was any of the vehicles, yours or hers, towed from the scene due to damage?
Hers was.
Okay. Now then, we have what is called a DOT recordable crash that will show up on your CSA profile.
Okay. Now, how much is that on points?
There is no points. Crashes do not carry a point value. But what it does show is that you were involved in a DOT recordable crash. Now, here's the one thing that you can do is get a copy of the police crash report.
Okay.
If it ever gets to the point that your motor carrier is shown being deficient in crashes, then the motor carrier can submit a copy of this crash report that FMCSA will look at, and if they agree with the data provided in the explanation of the details, then FMCSA will take that crash report and take it off of the motor carrier profile.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. It's that's interesting that it doesn't carry any points, but still it's one of these items that is noted. Will it be noted that he was at fault or not at fault?
No.
It will just be how – and will any of the details, I guess – be noted so that anyone looking at that item on a CSA profile will see what happened?
No. What happens is FMCSA has in part 390.15, it talks about DOT crashes.
Right. Stand by. Before we get into that too heavy, let's go to a break. I want to come back and explain this so that drivers, I guess, will know what to expect
okay.
if they're in one of these crashes. So stand by. Ask the Law returns next
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial. Good morning. Welcome. Drivers, if you want to get your question in, 800-288-9227. That's 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
It's all made possible by Old Blue USA. Their website, askthelaw.org. All the information is up to date as of today, Monday, March 28, 2011. Can change without notice. The comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. And before the break, we were talking about a situation that a driver got into. It's an accident. The other vehicle was towed. He said that all the officers on site were saying, hey, this isn't your fault. He received no citation for it. However, this is going to show on their CSA. Now, at some point, you mentioned to him this could come off of the CSA database. Is that
correct?
Right?
What happens is... you go back in 390.5 and you look up the definition of a crash or an accident. And an accident, by FMCSA definition is anytime there is a fatality involved, anytime there is ambulatory care, which means somebody is hauled from the scene in an ambulance. And the third criteria is any time a vehicle involved in the crash is towed from the scene due to disabling damage. So any time a driver of that is subject to the DOT regulations is involved in a crash that meets one of these three criterias, then it is reported to FMCSA as a DOT recordable crash. The crash does not make a... determination of who is at fault and who is not at fault.
Mm.
So in the situation that Ken was involved with, where the police report is going to show that he was not at fault, even though it meets the criteria of a DOT recordable crash, if his motor carrier gets to the point to where FMCSA, through their CSA database, shows the crash basic as getting deficient, then the motor carrier can take this crash because everybody, the report shows the truck driver to be not at fault, then they can submit this crash along with an explanation to FMCSA. They will review it, and if they do determine that the driver was not at fault, then this crash will come out of the data and possibly put the motor carrier back in satisfactory standing on the crash basic.
All right. We learned not too long ago that the CSA letters are going out now.
Yes.
Who is receiving the letters? It was, like 23, 24,000 carriers were receiving the letters. And so does that mean that the carriers are and the drivers themselves aren't necessarily receiving a copy of that letter?
Drivers will never receive a letter.
Okay. But are they getting, I guess my question is, are they getting a notice that a letter has been sent to their carrier?
No. No. The driver is completely out of the intervention or letters being sent to the driver.
Unless they happen to be, of course, the independent and sole operator of that company.
Now, you know, if you have an owner-operator operating on his own authority, he is the motor carrier and happens to be the driver as well, then, yes, they will send intervention letters to him or notices. Currently, the notices are going out that you have a deficient area.
But if a driver is a is leased on to a major carrier
or is employed,
as a company driver, a carrier, he will never know that these letters are going out to their carrier. Okay.
Because I guess my concern is when I saw this, when I read this story, the red flag that went up in my mind or the question, little question mark that popped up in my mind is how much do drivers know about their carriers?
How much should they be concerned about the overall carrier score? Because you have to know that there is a certain amount, there are a certain amount of drivers out there that have a pretty clean CSA score themselves as individual drivers. However, they may be working for a carrier or may be affiliated with a carrier whose CSA score is not so pretty.
Well, what the driver can do, if you are a employee, whether you are driving one of the company's trucks or you are leased to the motor carrier, all you have to do is get on FMCSA's website and you can go see the data that is up on your motor carrier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are a couple of things that the FMCSA is not putting up there, and one of them has to do with the crash information. That information will not be there, although FMCSA, if they find a motor carrier that is deficient in the crash basic, they can still send the letter to the motor carrier.
Right.
But the data is not viewable to the public. The motor carrier themselves can get it, but the public and a truck driver working for that motor carrier, all they have to do is log on to FMCSA website, go into, I believe it's the carrier profile, put the U.S. DOT number in there, and you're going to get to see the data that's there available.
All right. Stand by. We'll talk more about CSA, hours of service, and more. And don't forget, a week from this morning, we will also have another Ask the Law. If you want to get on board, we still have time for your questions at 800-288-9227, 800-288-9227. It is Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara with Eric Hurley.
Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. The information is up to date as of today, March 28, 2011. Can change without notice, and we want to let you know that comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. All right, the big Mid-America show coming up. Now, you won't be there, but we will be, of course, monitoring what's going on with all the chatter surrounding the whole big plate. You know, there's a little restaurant there. I think at Gary, it's in Rochester that has the garbage plate. This is kind of the garbage plate. What they do is they pile a bunch of stuff on this big plate, right? And it's all one big smorgasbord, this pile. Well, that's basically what we have in front of us as far as regulatory items are concerned. And we'll be going through all of those. Weather-wise, interestingly enough, I was watching, they were scheduled to have a slight chance of snow in Louisville this morning. I don't know if that's still holding or not. It was holding, but
I think the last time I went, it snowed on us.
Well, everybody was saying, I've been talking to my editor at Company Driver Magazine, and I've been talking to some of the other editors and people in the industry, and it's like, yeah, we'll have, it should be warmer this year because it's later. You know, well, no. Hold the fort yet and don't make any judgments because I looked in the long-term forecast and it looks like the rain will be out of the way, but I think we're going to see overnight temperatures in the low 40s and highs around 55 to 60 throughout the event there in Louisville. So at the very least, take a sweater with you. So we'll be out there all 3 days. I'm going to kind of have my head buried in a lot of product interviews. But also, I'm going to take some time to talk with as many as I can, drivers that are maybe looking, carriers that are looking for drivers, and then if we can, along the way, some officials as well, if we have access to them, to talk about what's going on and where we are as an industry. I think it will be an interesting time to kind of gauge the drivers and how they feel. There's obviously a little bit of fear based on CSA and the job situation.
Yes.
There is. And one thing that we saw coming out of the last the news cycle over the last few weeks was that they are still looking for a pretty decent driver shortage. Now, there's been a lot of contention about that particular phrase, driver shortage, and what that actually means. Qualified driver shortage.
I would say it's the qualified driver shortage.
Yes, and that's and maybe that's what we should start calling it, the QDS.
Yeah, right.
And because if you qualify it, then you realize it, and you know that it's all about those drivers that fit the profile of a CSA world, basically.
Yes.
And that's what we live under now, and that's exactly what we're looking at. But you go into this, you go into hours of service and EOBRs and everything else, and the fact that NHTSA may, they said they may look at some kind of ruling based on limiters in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have a very interesting recruiting situation. By the way, ATA believes, and the TCA is also concerned about these items that I've said for a long time. I wrote an article recently about this, and that is you have had an industry for so many years that drivers are in love with, I guess a lifestyle that they're in love with.
Right.
These are nomads. They've got it in their blood to do what they do. They love doing it. But now you've got regulatory items that are kind of taking all of that out of it and giving drivers too many concerns to worry about for it to be one of these love affair type situations,
right,
for them. So
right.
I think that will the dynamics have changed drastically. It is still a business, and they've truckload carriers talked about this as well. The rates are going up. They're seeing this happen.
Yes.
They know that this is happening right now. But what good are higher rates if there's no people there?
Correct.
You know, you're only going to be able to, the market's only going to bear so much when it comes to the cost of a driver or any cost in any business. And you can raise that up, you can raise those rates, you can raise the cost of that freight up. However, if there's nobody that's willing to do it, you have a situation on your hands. In the past, when they felt that there was a shortage of drivers, well, they'd go out and they'd raise the per mile rate. Then all of a sudden the load rates started going up and everything else. We started seeing that happening. Now it's a very different situation where you see that there could be a ceiling because you realize that it only has so much potential. That paying drivers more can only do so much.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to watch all of this. But I'll be hosting a couple of events out there. The Paul K. Young ceremony on Saturday. That's always fun to do. It's always, a great show there in Louisville. But I think a very serious tone as far as recruiting is concerned, a much more face-to-face, very detailed kind of two-way interview going on with drivers and carriers while we're out there. And then we'll be back here a week from this morning.
Yes.
And we will talk about everything that we learned from Mid-America. And all the buzz that's going on in any industry news between now and then. And, of course, take any more comments and calls along the way. So, drivers, make sure you're here for that 1 week from this morning. Another Ask the Law right here on the program as we get caught. By the way, that will be our April edition.
Yes.
Of Ask
back
the Law.
Back to normal.
Yeah. So we will we'll get you caught up then and more. So, Trooper Dial, have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great.
All right. Ask the Law. By the way, askthelaw.org is the website. It's the Midnight Radio Network.
800-288-9227.